Thank you, worship team. Thank you guys for your worship as well. We're in a new series that we're calling We Believe, and I shared with you at the beginning of this a couple of weeks ago. I'd love for you to go back, and if you haven't heard all the messages, to go back and catch up. But you know, I just shared with you that in order for us to really live out our faith in a way that can make a difference, in order to be difference makers in the place that God has called us, we really first got to know what we believe, right? We have to know what we believe, and you know, about God the Father, about you know, God the Son, and so we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. This, you know, one of my favorite songs many years ago was "We Believe" by the Newsboys. Maybe you heard it. I think we're going to sing it, or the worship team's going to lead us in that. But anyway, we believe, maybe not. It goes like this, right? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's bringing us new life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, the Holy Spirit, and how He brings power into our lives and gives us new life. If there ever was an area in Christianity where there is confusion, maybe anxiety, controversy, and disagreement, it could be in this area right here, right? And so I so want to share with you what we believe about the Holy Spirit and His role in our lives. And it's my prayer that today you will find out what He really wants, that He really wants to be your best friend. You know how it is with your best friend? You can be yourself, you can relax, you can open up and be transparent, you can share your heart. Well, that's my hope and prayer, that will be your response when it comes to the Holy Spirit in your life. And so today we're going to go to God's Word and see what God says about the Holy Spirit. And what I need you to do is just throw out all preconceived ideas and let's go straight to the Bible, because when we do that, we discover that the Holy Spirit is not outdated, it's not unbiblical, and you're going to want to know Him and get very close to Him. And so I'm going to do that by just answering two questions today. The first one is who He is, and then the second one, it will be, and what will He do? What will He do? And so here it is, we're just going to jump right in, who He is. And the first is this: He is a Him. And I know that's bad grammar, but it explains the point, right? He is a Him. He's not an it. He's not some cosmic, mystical, spiritual force. No, He is a person. The Bible refers to Him as a Him. And I think where the confusion comes from is when the Bible began to be translated from the original languages in Hebrew and Greek. There were some words that the English language had no word for. And so they had to choose a word that best described the original text. And I think they did pretty good, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it has brought some confusion over the years. I think, for instance, the King James used the term Holy Ghost, and then the NIV and the ESV used Holy Spirit. So I think sometimes it gives us this idea that He's not actually a person, that He's a ghost, right? And most of us are scared of ghosts, right? I don't like ghosts. That's why I don't like Halloween. I'm sorry if you love Halloween. I don't do scary things, right? I don't do movies about ghosts, you know. And so what I want you to understand, He's not that. He's a person. John 14:17 says, "The world cannot accept Him," because he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." Five times Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a Him. He's not a cosmic, mystical cloud. He's not some force. He's a person. And we refer to Him as the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's so important for us to get correct right off the bat, because if we see him not as some mystical ghost, but as a person, if we get that, we'll begin to understand that we can relate to Him personally. And that's so important for us to do. The second is this: He's not weird. Okay? You know, there's a lot of things around the Holy Spirit that are weird, but the Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. All right? People are weird. Sometimes people act weirdly when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, it draws attention to ourselves that you know, to ourselves, and it will make it all about us instead of all about the Holy Spirit. And you've heard my story, and I've probably talked about the Holy Spirit more than most, over the years, I think, because of my journey in discovering who He is. When I was growing up, I went to a church that never really talked about the Holy Spirit that much, and it was just kind of pushed. He was kind of just pushed to the side. And then I had a best friend that went to another church, and man, it was center and up front and all about that, right? So here, let me just say this: there are extremes when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And we have these preconceived ideas, some of them not based on the Bible, but on what people have done. So listen, He's not weird. In fact, Jesus said He is good and that we need to get close to Him. Jesus says, to His disciples when He's about to go to the cross, He says, it's going to be better for you to have Him, talking about the Holy Spirit, and get close to Him than it is for me to stay here with you. And I think the disciples just went, what? Are you crazy? And I think we think that too, right? We think, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it really be great if Jesus was here with us? Right? I mean, I think that, so we could do miracles with Him, right? Like, if a dog got ran over by a car and died, Jesus and I could go up and we could raise him back to life. I mean, that would be really cool. That would be really cool. And if a cat got ran over by a car, right, Jesus and I could go out there and we could do the funeral together for the cat. There's my cat joke. There's my cat joke. Listen, I don't need any cats. I have a lot of people who have given me fake cats, and I love them, and they're in my office. But I mean, I really love cats. That's not true. That's not true. Here's what. I love cat people. That's true. I love cat people. That's true. Jesus said, He said, no, the Holy Spirit is not weird. He is good. John 16:7 says, but I tell you the truth, Jesus says, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. He's good. You're going to want to be with Him, close to Him, and relate to Him as a person. Third, He is God. Okay, He is God. I think most of us are comfortable with talking about God the Father. And most of us are comfortable with God the Son, Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus came to earth and we have stories about Him. But we put the Holy Spirit in a different category. God is real money and Jesus is real, but I just don't know about the Holy Spirit. I kind of like what Robert Morris said in his book, The Forgotten God. He's talked about, the struggle that we have with the Holy Spirit, just the disconnect that we have sometimes with the Holy Spirit. And Robert Morris said, sometimes I think I come up with good ideas for God. He said one of those ideas would be that, what He should have done and maybe what He needs to do is to give the Holy Spirit a name. And so Bob says, instead of just the Holy Spirit, give Him a name and then we'll be able to relate to Him more personally. Give Him a name like Bob, right? Or Bill. Give him a name like Bill, right? Like Bill. And then we could pray to Bill and we'd have that connection, right? And for all those real formal churches, it'd be okay for them too because they could pray to Him as William, right? He could be William to them. And then those that are, a little more excited, they could pray to Him as Billy. It's Billy, Wild Billy, right, or whatever. And as I've kind of, thought about that and journeyed in my own understanding of the Holy Spirit, here's what I've discovered. What I've discovered is this. His name is God. His name is God. The Holy Spirit is just a descriptive name for Him. Just like God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. His name is God. And I need to respect Him in that way. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. His name is God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity. Acts 5, Peter says this to Ananias. He said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. He is God. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He is God. And then fourth, he is my best friend. I so want you to get to that place in your relationship with the Holy Spirit that he really becomes that close to you, where he is your best friend. I love the benediction or the prayer at the end of 2 Corinthians 13. I really love it in the Message. Let me just read it in the Message. It says this. It says, may the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, and the extravagant love of God and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And that's my greatest hope for you today. First of all, that you would have a relationship with God through the amazing grace of Jesus. You see, you can't have a relationship with God the Father or the Holy Spirit without first coming to Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. You know why? We talked about it last week. Jesus paid your price, your wages. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, physical death and spiritual death, eternal separation from our God, our Creator. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus paid our price. He paid our debt. And until you receive the amazing grace of Jesus, and again, grace means that you get something you don't deserve, right? It's God's riches, his forgiveness, his purpose in life, his home in heaven. It's his riches given to us at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense is grace. Grace. And until you receive the amazing grace of Jesus, his forgiveness, his purposes, his home, you know, it has to begin there. That's where it begins, the amazing grace. And it all starts there. You come to Jesus to be cleansed and forgiven so that you can have and experience the extravagant love of God the Father. That's it. Right? For you to be in a relationship with your Father so that you can spend eternity in heaven with your Father that loves you more than anybody else, including me. All right? Because listen, if our relationship was dependent upon me allowing my sons, Hunter and Jacob, to be killed, we wouldn't be in a relationship. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the truth. But Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love for you and for me, that even though we are sinners, even though we didn't deserve it, he allowed his son to be sacrificed, and Jesus died for me, for you, to pay my debt and to pay your debt. That's how extravagant the love of the Father is. Extravagant love, unconditional love. It's a forever love. But listen, until we see him face to face, we need some help here on earth. And that's why he says, I also hope that you would have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. A best friend relationship with the Holy Spirit. You see, God is on the throne, and Jesus is at his right hand. But the Holy Spirit is here with you and here with me. And he wants you to be close to the Holy Spirit, to have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. He's a him. He's not weird. He is God. And he wants to be our best friend. So what will he do in order to be our best friend? What will he do? And what I did, and you can go back and listen to, I think, last Easter's message on the Spirit to even get more detail in this. But I just began to walk through John 14, 15, and 16. And I picked out the five he will statements that Jesus gives about the Holy Spirit. You can turn to John 14 if you want to and be there. But let me just set this up. In John 13, I don't know if you remember, it's the night before Jesus goes to the cross. And Jesus, you know, he's in the upper room with the disciples. And you remember that? And what does he do there with the disciples right at the beginning? He washes their feet. Yeah, he washes their feet. And then he talks about Judas going to betray him. And then they have the Last Supper. And then somewhere between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane, somewhere in between those two events, maybe just walking to the garden, Jesus with his disciples began to have this conversation in John 14, 15, and 16. And it's so amazing to me that Jesus, knowing that he's about to go to the cross, he chooses to have a conversation with them about the Holy Spirit. But how important the Holy Spirit is to them, and how important he's going to be to them, and how he wants to make sure that they are close to him. And then he gives them five he will statements about the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to walk down through those with you. The first is this. He says, he will be with me. Look at verse 16 in John 14. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, and it is to be with you, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He will be with you. He calls the Holy Spirit the counselor. The Greek reads, the Greek word for that is parakletos. Para means alongside, and kletos means to call or to walk or to be called alongside. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's someone that has been called to come alongside you and me, to be with you. He's one that pleads, you know, our cause before, you know, a judge, before a counsel, before a defense. He's our advocate. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. King James uses the word comforter. Comforter. And I've shared with you that example, right? About the comforter, or the Holy Spirit being our comforter. How many of you have comforters at your house? Yeah, we get a new one ever so often. It's put on the bed, right? And it looks really soft, really comfortable. It's like, yes, I get it. But, you know, I go to bed, it's not there. It's like moved off the bed. It's like, why is that, right? Why can't I use that comforter? And Kim says, no, it's for looks, not for use. It's for looks. Well, you know, for 40 years, you know, and I finally discovered in marriage, there's a lot of things in my life that are in my house, and they are for those kind of things, right? Like, you know, another one might be, you might have guest towels. Anybody have guest towels? That, I got them, right? They're towels that you can use if you come and stay with me, but I can't use. You let me get out of the shower and grab one of the guest towels, and Kim see me, and she go, what are you doing? What are you using that for? I'm going like, I'm wet. I don't know. I need it. No. They are not for you. They're not for you. And I think about that. How many of us think of the Holy Spirit that way? He's good for looks, but not for use. Listen, we so need to begin to come into a friendship with him and allow him to be our advocate, our counselor, our intercessor, our comforter. And I'm just afraid that sometimes we put him to the side, that we really don't know him. And he is the one that is called to come alongside of us, to be our intimate friend, our counsel, our advocate, our helper, our comforter, to be with you, to be with you. The second he will is this. He will reveal the Bible to me. And I love this about the Holy Spirit, that he is with me and he's with you to help us understand God's Word. I think it's one of his main goals, to help us begin to understand the truth and the principles of God's Word. It's those moments, I don't know if you've ever been there, when you read, you know, a particular passage of Scripture, you read the Bible, and all of a sudden, you've read it 100 times, but all of a sudden you go, oh my goodness, I get it. I get it. Listen, that's the Holy Spirit. He turns the light on and reveals the truth to you. And so the power comes when the Word comes alive inside of you and changes you and is fulfilled in your life. That's the Holy Spirit's work. John 14:26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." You see, the Holy Spirit, He helps the Word to come alive. He helps the Word to come alive in me with such power that it can begin to change me and transform me and fulfill the truth in my life and in my relationships. And that really started for me. It really started for me in college. I really began to have a consistent quiet time with God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, for really the first time, began to become real to me. And as He began to reveal His truth to me, and I'll be honest with you, that is why I still try to read the Bible through every year, make effort to do that. That's why I go through that discipline, because that's where God, through the Holy Spirit, begins to reveal Himself to me and to reveal His truth to me over and over again. And so I just encourage you, you know, come alongside with me, right? Start that discipline in your life if you hadn't already. Let's read the Bible throughout the year. Not so that we can just check it off, but so that the Holy Spirit, in those moments, can reveal His truth to you. Third, He will help me share Jesus with others. Again, it's a very important role, you know, to empower believers to fulfill their mission to win people to Jesus, to share Jesus with others. John 15:26 says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me." He'll show people Jesus. To share Christ, He'll help you to share Christ in a way that people get it and see His desire to be in relationship with them. When I was a senior at University of Florida, I was a member of Campus Crusade for Christ, which is better known now as CRU. And every week I would take one or two guys out with me on campus, right? And we would just go out and we would share Jesus. And it was a little awkward, you know, but I just felt like it was good practice. I thought it was good to help mentor young guys to really get more comfortable and to begin to trust the Holy Spirit to help them and to help us share our faith. And so, you know, one day I was with this freshman guy, and right before we stepped out onto the campus and to the Plaza de Americas there in front of the library, is one of the places that we would go, I just said, "Let's pray before we do this." And I just prayed, "Holy Spirit, be with us today and give us the opportunity to share Jesus with others today. You know, a Holy Spirit, give us a sign so that we know when there's an opening, that this is the opportunity to share our faith." And I pray that in Jesus' name. And so we would head out. And so I was there. And this freshman dude, you know, was with me. And he was scared. He was scared to death, you know. And we walked up to this guy. And we just sat down, you know, introduced ourselves. Started having a little conversation. We said, "Hey, we're from Campus Crusade. You know, what's your name? You know, where are you from? What are you majoring in?" Just, you know, making conversation. "How are you doing?" And then all of a sudden, this guy, he begins to cry. I mean, he's bawling in front of us. And, you know, he goes, "Oh, my goodness, okay, you know, this is happening in my life. My life is terrible. This is happening, and this is happening, you know." And there's this guy crying to us. And I look at the freshman dude, right, and he's looking at me, freaking out. I mean, he is freaking out by this point. And the guy was saying, I don't know. "You know, maybe I need God. Maybe I need God in my life. Maybe God can straighten me out." And my freshman guy looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said to me, "Monty, is this a sign?" And I said, "Yeah, this is it. This is a sign. Thank you, Holy Spirit." And we had the opportunity to share Jesus with this young man, and you know, and he prayed to receive Christ right there and became a part of the CRU, the Campus Crusade family. It was just, and God's family, even more importantly. It was just amazing, right? Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside of you and help you share Jesus with others. I think about the early church when they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You remember, we get all caught up in that story with the unknown language stuff. But what happened? It was 3,000 people came to Jesus. 3,000 people got saved. That's what's important, right? He sent His Holy Spirit to empower you and me to share Jesus with other people. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit. He wants to empower the church so that you can be His witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. That's your city. The place He has called you to. In Judea and Samaria. That's your region. Your state, right? The United States. And to the ends of the earth. That's our world. The church, you know, is all about people. To organize ourselves in such a way to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to reach people and make a difference in our world. And then be with Jesus the rest of our lives. That's our goal. To reach our families, our friends, our city for Jesus. Number four, He will convict me of my sin. Uh-oh, right? And sometimes that word, when I read it, makes me feel bad, right? But God doesn't want to make us feel bad. The devil wants you to feel bad. You know, the devil is the only one that brings condemnation to a believer. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to feel bad. You know, I mean, he doesn't go and say something like, "I can't believe you touched that. I can't believe you saw that, clicked on that." No, listen, He's not frustrated with you. The word conviction means points you to the way of life. He convinces us of our sin and compels us to repent, right? To turn away from that sin and redirects us redirects our lives to what is better, to Jesus. John 16:8 says, "When He comes, the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." So the Holy Spirit, He will convince me of my sin. And I used to think this verse was all about the judgment, right? The Holy Spirit comes to tell me that I'm a bad person, that I'm not living right, that God is going to get me. Listen, the Holy Spirit comes to convict me that I need a Savior. And once I turn to Jesus, I am now righteous in His sight. And Satan has no more dominion over me. That's the Holy Spirit. He's showing us a better way. And we all need that. The Holy Spirit convicting our conscience. Don't do that. Okay, here's a way out. The Holy Spirit will give you a check in your spirit. I call it the Holy Spirit check. Anybody ever had a Holy Spirit check? Every once in a while, I try to do Twitter. Anybody else? Social media? I mean, I like Twitter better than any of the rest of them, but it's not very good either. So, but every once in a while, a lot of people on Twitter are so creative, right? So witty with their words. So I'm trying to do that, right? You know, I'm trying to be witty. I wrote something on Twitter, and I thought, well, that's really witty. I'm witty, not twitty, but that's really witty. Right? I mean, that's good. It's funny. I mean, there's some truth in there, and some good truth, and there's some hard truth, but it's funny, right? And I'm about to push the button to send it out into Twitter world, and the Holy Spirit kind of just gave me a check and said, "Money, I wouldn't tweet that." He didn't actually say tweet, but "Money, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that." And I obeyed and said, okay. And I erased that sucker. Right? You know, it's even scary to erase. because you know you're afraid you're going to hit sin, you know, the sin button or something when you're erasing. So it's really scary, but I erased it. You want me to tell you what it was? No, I'm not going to tell you. No. It was good. It was good. But it was probably sinful. Listen, he will convict me of my sin. We all need the Parakletos, you know, the Holy Spirit. We all need him to come alongside of us and to convict us and say, no, not that. Isaiah 30, 21, one of my favorite verses that I memorized. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ear will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Which leads me to the fifth He will statement is He will guide me through life. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Isn't that good? I'm not talking about some spiritual fortune teller or predictor. So when you're trying to make a decision, He will give you a peace about it. If He becomes your intimate friend, you will begin to recognize His voice. You will know that it's Him. And you will begin to follow His guidance. You begin to recognize His voice and have the courage to follow and be obedient as He guides you in life. I have people sometimes say, well, Monty, what is that evidence of? We always talk about it, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled. What is the evidence of that? Well, let me just share with you what I think are a couple of evidences of the Holy Spirit being with you. One is power. You'll begin to have and be empowered to share your faith, to withstand temptations in life, to really stand up and speak up for your faith. There will be a supernatural power. There's the Holy Spirit. It's an evidence of the Holy Spirit being in your life. Another is love. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. It's all about love. But I don't know if you realize this. 1 Corinthians 12 is all about the uses of the Holy Spirit. And I'd encourage you to go there, and it talks about gifts and things. But 1 Corinthians 14 is all about the abuses of the Holy Spirit. And right in the middle of those is 1 Corinthians 13, of course, and it's about love. And Paul is saying, hey, listen, if you don't have love, you're like a clanging gong. You have nothing. So an evidence of the Holy Spirit will just be this supernatural love that's inside of you. A love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It never fails. It'll be an evidence. Another one is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're needing a little kindness and a little gentleness in your relationships, you need to pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, produce that in me. And when you begin to see yourself begin to respond with the fruit of the Spirit and in situations that you don't usually respond that way, that's the Holy Spirit. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit. And then another one is the gifting. The Holy Spirit, if you're a follower of Christ, you'll have at least one, Holy Spirit gift to you. We started The Rock 18 years ago, and many of you know the story. We were meeting at a funeral home, and it was a beautiful beginning, right? And we decided, you know, we're outgrowing that we need to move. And so we went into a contract with the Lakeland Civic Center, and it was a lot of money. But we thought, wow, this is the place, right? This is the place. And we began to meet in the Civic Center for a while. And as we met there, Kim and I and others said, it just didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right. And we just began to pray. God, Holy Spirit, is this right? If it's not right, would you provide us something else? We prayed that prayer one night, and the next day, John Rada calls and says, hey, Monty, I got this building next to my office. I don't know if you'd be interested in it or not, but, you know, come on down and look at it. And Kim and I, we walked in to the Little Rock over there, just this end of that building, just this very end. And we walked in there, and it was like the Holy Spirit says, this is the next step. This is the next step. Listen, the Holy Spirit will guide you. And it's my prayer that we as a church will learn to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance in our life. He will be with you. He will reveal God's truth to you. He will give you and empower you to be able to share your faith in a way that will draw people into a relationship with Him. He will convict you. When you get out of line, you will hear, you will feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, no. And He will redirect your paths. And He will guide you. So listen, God the Father, He loves us with an unconditional forever love. God the Son, He saves us through being willing to go to the cross and die on that cross and be raised again. God the Holy Spirit, He is with us. He's with us. He's with you right now. And so let's just spend some time in His presence. Okay? Let's just pray together, knowing that the Holy Spirit is here. Pray with me. Let's be quiet. And let's just allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us this morning. Some of you need His amazing grace. So right now, will you let the Holy Spirit point you, guide you to Jesus? Some of you are carrying the guilt of your sin. And you need to let the Holy Spirit lead you to Jesus and His forgiveness. And begin to experience the power, the comfort, the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life. So allow Him to lead you to Jesus right now and say, Jesus, forgive me. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of a sin or a struggle that you have in your life and just surrender that to Jesus. Pray this prayer and mean this in your heart. God, forgive me. I've gone my own way and I've done my own thing. And today I want to receive what Jesus did for me. I receive your forgiveness. And today I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I surrender all to you. Oh, Holy Spirit, live inside of me and change me. Fill me up, Holy Spirit, with your presence, and with all my heart, I will serve you with my life. God, I pray for this church, these people. God, I pray that you will bless them, and God, that they may all know the amazing grace of Jesus Christ and the extravagant love of God the Father. Father, they would come into an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.